Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Gospel of John is kind of a new beginning for some of the early church. There were other Gospels of Jesus Christ available, but this one begins like the book of Genesis and invites all of us to make a beginning with Jesus. Once, in this version of the Good News, Jesus was developing this big old metaphor of vines and branches and fruit, and he said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Well, the story we heard this morning, one of the resurrection appearances of Jesus, is kind of like a practical joke. That night on the lake, they caught nothing, but just after daybreak, the risen Jesus makes all the difference, 153 fish. It's like Jesus saying, "See? Apart from me, you can do nothing." What if that's true, though? What if we can't do any decent thing without the power of the resurrected one who reorders the universe in the name of love? What if, in order to make a new beginning, or forgive somebody, or serve the world, or advocate for those without a voice, or bless our neighbors, or love anybody, we need Jesus risen from the dead? The Gospel of John doesn't say anything about the earliest disciples being fishermen by trade. It's kind of odd, right? Because that's their reputation in the other Gospels. And the early churches probably knew that. Yet at the very end of the story, after the traumatic death of Jesus in Jerusalem, and after the astonishing resurrection of Jesus in Jerusalem, some disciples return to Galilee, and in the final chapter of John, Peter says, "I'm going fishing." The Sea of Galilee is sometimes called the Sea of Tiberias in this gospel, named for Tiberius Caesar. It's the gospel writer's way of reminding us that creation itself, the water, the fish, not to mention the people in the fishing industry, were in the first century exploited by Caesar and the Roman Empire. And I almost don't want to say this, but resurrection doesn't seem to change that. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? Because we want the world to be changed, liberated, and healed from the diseases of greed and violence and exploitation and empire. Does Jesus' resurrection really matter if it doesn't change these conditions? The good news at the end of the gospel is that the risen Jesus doesn't just haunt the houses of Jerusalem, popping through locked doors to comfort his terror-stricken disciples. Though that is good news, because a lot of the world's people need comfort and care in the wake of trauma. The risen Jesus comforts and offers blessing and peace. That's good news. And the risen Jesus shows up in other ordinary places like Galilee. The risen Jesus shows up on the worst day of work, or make that the worst night of work, because fishermen were night shift. when they had fished all night and caught nothing. What if it's true that we can't do any decent thing without the power of the resurrected one who reorders the universe in the name of love? And what if, in order to even make a new beginning for ourselves, or forgive somebody, or serve the world, or advocate for those without a voice, or bless our neighbors, or love anybody, we need Jesus, risen from the dead? Our Easter series theme is resurrection wonder, but this story is less of a wonder in the sense of a miracle than some of the other resurrection appearances. 153 fish, I mean, that's a lot, but it's not miraculous, right? Jesus just offered these guys some advice for them to make a great catch, and someone bothered to count them. And then Jesus greets these disciples on the shore with a charcoal fire. And that charcoal fire brings back memories. A few days prior, around a charcoal fire in Jerusalem, Peter was identified as one of Jesus' followers. But he denied it. Not once, not twice, but three times. And seeing and smelling a charcoal fire, Peter's memory of his recent failure may have been all the more vivid. Smells, you know, can bring you right back to a specific experience. But there's no shaming here. Jesus doesn't talk about Peter's denial. Jesus offers breakfast of grilled fish and bread, the food that was once multiplied for a hungry crowd. This passage is a real tearjerker for me. I didn't actually think I'd choke up in that earlier part. It's this next part, so I might have more tears. Because Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" And again, "Do you love me?" And a third time he asks, "Do you love me?" And I'm right there with Peter saying yes, and yet feeling the weight of recent failures growing heavier with each repetition of the Lord's question. The theology of John's gospel is that the primary human temptation is to deny who we are. You know, even Jesus isn't tempted by Satan in this gospel. But he is tempted before Pilate to deny who he is. And actually, in Peter's denial, he doesn't precisely deny Jesus. Peter denies who he is in relationship to Jesus. He says, "I am not, I am not." And Peter denied again, three denials. But then here, on this new day, in the morning, on the shore of the lake, there are three opportunities to respond directly to Jesus with love. We've been there. We've denied who we are in relationship to Jesus. The early church told the story of Jesus surrounded by his flawed but now famous apostles. Of the three apostles who are named in this story, you know, Peter, of course, denied his own identity as a follower of Jesus. Thomas, another one of the guys in the boat, resisted Jesus' resurrection until he saw it and touched the Lord's body, wounded and risen from the dead. And Nathanael, I mean, we don't know that much about Nathanael. He's another guy in this boat. But he was this standout among devout Israelites, but he resisted Jesus' early ministry, saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" The charcoal fire exposes all of our temptations to live our lives as if we had no need for the saving love of the resurrected Jesus. The charcoal fire reveals our doubts and our arrogance as disciples. The Mennonite Church in recent years has invested some energy in acknowledging our own temptations to deny or betray the way of Jesus. We've begun to admit the pattern of Mennonite settlements in North America that benefited from the doctrine of discovery, that is, privileging persons considered white and displacing native people in the land in North America. Our church is also attempting to dismantle the racism that is systemic, not only in our society, but in our church schools, in our congregations, in our mission organizations. Our church is working to address the patriarchy and homophobia that are embedded in our reading of scripture, in our expectations of leadership and mission and worship in the name of Jesus. Likewise, as individual believers, we are tempted to deny who we are and the way of Jesus. Haven't we sometimes, you know, wanted somebody else's life, a life with more impact, or maybe just a life with more money, or a life with more ease? Sometimes we're reluctant to receive even the simple gifts of our lives, like a breakfast, as being from the risen Lord. We're going to sing a song now that will bring to our awareness some of our temptations and doubts and weaknesses as followers of Jesus. Let's turn in the purple book to number 81. Help us to know him risen from the dead. The resurrected Lord Jesus remembers Peter's failures, because in this and every other Eucharistic meal, our former attempts at identity are transformed as we unite with Christ. The bread and the fish of that breakfast, that charcoal fire, are a reminder of how Peter has been living. But according to Scripture, succumbing to temptation and past failures and even pursuing false identities doesn't disqualify us for carrying out Jesus' ministry. That's the arc of Peter's story in the Gospel of John. All of us every day have these new opportunities to make a beginning, to respond to the one who reorders the universe and us in the name of love. The grace-filled Jesus offers Peter some responsibility, some stake in the future. Jesus invites Peter, commands Peter, in the name of love, to feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. It's both forgiveness and a commissioning. This is graduation weekend for many students in our community, and the weeks ahead will include more celebrations as high school seniors and their families are enjoying commencement ceremonies. You know, Jesus' affirmation for Peter is a fitting message for us all, especially at a time like graduation. If you love me, Jesus says, feed my sheep. If we love Jesus, if we orient our lives as Jesus oriented his life, then we're fit for service, for feeding and tending the needs of the world. There's an essential relationship between our love and our work in the world. And by work, I don't mean our paycheck. It could be that, but the work that's paid or unpaid that is God's will for our lives. In this resurrection wonder story, Jesus, slain during the Passover feast in Jerusalem, appears on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias to restore his relationship with Peter and with the rest of us who have sometimes denied how much this relationship matters. Feeding us and forgiving us, Jesus calls us again to be who we are with this poignant question, do you love me more than these? I can't really tell whether he means, do you love me more than these grilled fish sandwiches? Or whether he means, do you love me more than you love your fishing buddies? I don't think he means, do you love me more than Nathaniel loves me or more than Thomas loves me? Jesus kind of knew that those comparisons could work against our true identity. Jesus knew what it means to be human, and that there are lesser loves that get in the way of loving Jesus first in our lives. For the purposes of this sermon, and because it is a completely legitimate reading of the Greek, let's imagine that Jesus just meant, if you love me more than a fish sandwich, then yours can be a life of ministry. Okay, I know that sandwiches were not invented until the 18th century. And I know that some of you were maybe hoping for that sermon about the differences between the Greek words for love in this passage. You know, there's this agape love of Jesus' initial question and Peter's responding with friendship love. But I just kind of figured that maybe what really matters today for all of us is whether we have a response to Jesus' tender question, do you love me? And if love has been kindled in us, then we are part of reordering the universe in the name of love. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning. The next practical joke on the world that denies resurrection is your life of ministry. So be creative this week in following Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.